Sister Maynard jumped up, and she got to shouting in her little circle right there, and then we had church for a while. So I'll never forget that all my days, that particular event. So when I hear that scripture and that song, that makes me think of Sister Maynard, her shouting that night and that evening in that service. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of James, chapter number 2. And I have a lot of information in front of me tonight, and I will do my best to only preach till I get tired. And y'all pray the Holy Ghost anoint me really good. Who was it? Scott, Elijah or Elisha? One of them went in a power of one meal for like 40 days. Hang on. I'm just playing. Hang on. No, I'm not going to keep it that long tonight. I don't intend to. We'll stay there. We'll stay here till the Lord gets done with us. A couple of quotes that I came up with as I was studying this is, faith has the ability and the strength to see past all the pain and suffering in this life and to hold on to eternity. Another quote that I came across is simply, without faith, the Christian's life appears highly irrelevant, totally insane, and entirely worthless. Everything that you and I do as Christians hinges on our faith. Now, I know that I've looked at a lot of Scripture, and I know that I've read a lot of Scripture, and there's a lot of Scripture I went over for this particular service tonight. But I wanted to look into the book of James chapter 2 and looking in verse number 14. I believe this is one of the greatest sections of scriptures outside of a few more over in Hebrews that I will get to really quickly that has been written as far as a comparison between faith and works. Let me say it like this. It is all faith, but faith by itself really don't totally get the job done. So James is writing this, and he's talking about our faith in a lot of areas. And I believe that he wrote to them in some extremes. And I think that these are something, when I thought back over these scriptures and read back over them, they even got my attention. Because of the way that James wrote this, it's like, to me, now this is me, if you preach it, you preach it your way. But to me, it's like two polar ends of a north and south, if you will, or two total ends of a magnet, if you will. You ever tried to put two north ends of a magnet together? They don't go. So when James is writing this, this is what he was saying, that faith without works is dead. Now this is how he writes this. And he says, What doth profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? This is going to be fun, ain't it? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not, somebody say not, those things which are needful in the body, what doth it profit? Wow. And then he says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. Wow. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? But wilt thou know, O vain man, faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? With a question mark. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and works was made faith, works was faith made perfect. Now, in that scenario, in that scripture, you've got to look at this in saying that you've got to have both. Faith and works complement each other. Now, when James wrote this, what he basically was saying in the top part of this was simply, and this is what I came across, it said, when James did not see a manifestation of their faith, he called it dead faith. Commentary talked about this and where that, again, we can see this in the scripture. And he says that faith, again, is Paul speaking of true faith. And we'll get into some of his writings in Galatians here shortly. But Paul speaks of a true faith, a living faith, faith that does more than it says. Faith without works is dead. James reminds us not to only be just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. Then we see again, Paul is talking about this, and he says, Paul speaks of true living faith, which purifies the heart and works by love. Galatians 5 and 6, we won't turn there right now. James, in this instance, speaks of a profession or presumption of faith, which is barren and destitute of good fruit. Such a faith is dead. It is a faith, even what the Bible says the devils believe and tremble. It's consistent only an intellectual belief in God and God's existence. But James takes us to a different level. It's good for you to, let me use it like this. It's good for you to say that you love someone that is destitute, hungry, naked, or whatever the case might be here. But it's another thing for you to buy them a warm blanket and say, get warm. You can believe it all day long. You can think it all day long. But until you put into action what you say your lips and your heart believes, it's nothing more than just a dead faith. Now let's all stand and go to the house. That's a message in itself. You've got to put legs on your faith. That's what one writer said. So we see here again in the latter part of this, we got into 22, so we'll go to 23. And it said, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. What was the manifestation that Abraham believed God? What did he do? He took Isaac, he saddled the ass, he went up the mountain, right? He got the wood, he done what he said to God that he would do. Real faith moves. Now, I don't know, I feel like this is going to be a teaching scenario more than a preaching, screaming scenario this evening. Because we need this. We need this evening. I need this. I don't pick messages. I don't just pick and choose. That sounds good and I need to do this. For some reason, God put this on my heart. Because I don't know what's ahead. I have no clue what's around the next corner. None of us do. We may get back to the place where it might take a little bit of faith to serve God. It might take a whole lot of faith to serve God. I don't know. Before the good Lord comes and the rapture takes place, we may have to walk by faith again instead of sort of like snapping our fingers and everything being at our fingertip. Are you with me tonight? Faith is necessary for you and I in the day and the hour that we're living in. Again, verse 24 says this, you see then how that by works a man is justified. That's an interesting word. He says here, and you see how that by works a man is justified. In that day with Abraham doing what Abraham was told to do of God, he done what God told him to do, and it was imputed to Abraham as righteousness because he believed God. He obeyed God. He done what God told him to do. But can works save you? That's an interesting thing, isn't it? Can works really save you? Are we saved by grace through faith, or is it by our works? That's an interesting question, ain't it? We'll go there. We'll get there after a while. But Abraham, they in their day, in their hour, in their time, they still had a faith to do. They didn't have the redemption of Jesus. They didn't have that type of redemption. But yet, as they done what God told them, as God moved upon them, it was attributed to them as their faith. Now, you can look at this in the book of Hebrews. Now, again, I told you that I was only going to mention it vaguely. But you can look at the book of Hebrews, and the book of Hebrews talks about this all the way through chapter number 11. And I'm not going to stay there. I'm only going to mention it vaguely. But you can see as you do this, and you can see that all the way down through, let me just give you a little synopsis of this. It says that that God was able to raise him up. This is Abraham and Isaac. And it said by faith, Abraham was tried, verse number 17. And it said he offered up Isaac. And then you can see all the way down through there, he says that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, according that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. Now, look at this. Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses. Then you can see all the way down through there. Moses forsook Egypt, and it says by faith they kept the Passover. By faith they walked through the Red Sea on dry land. By faith the walls of Jericho. By faith Rahab the harlot. Now watch this. Every one of them, let me use it like this. Every one of them, let's use this word. They worked and they did what God told them to do. But it was not their works that justified them. It was their faith in the God that never fails. And when they heard from God and God told them to do what they'd done, and they acted upon what God told them to do. Let me say it like this. They acted upon their faith and did what seemed to be very impossible. You know, don't get mad at the preacher. I say that too often. But I say that because I can be very easily misunderstood. It is so easy for you and I to live in a very, very, very comfortable Christian environment right now in the United States of America. And it's very easy for us to do that because it seems like that we don't really have those, watch this, great big mountains. So I said, well, I've got mountains that you know not of. But when you compare our lives today to their lives then, watch, they believed God. By faith, they did what God told them to do. The rest of this book of Hebrews, I turned away from it, but it tells us there in the latter part of verse number 11. And it said, all of these, they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. And every bit of this, they did by faith. They did. That's an important word that we're going to look at here in just a few minutes because of where I believe the Lord has taken us. But this is what the Bible says, again in Hebrews 11 and 1, and it says by faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence is not seen. Now watch this, not seen. We like to see the evidence first, don't we? But our job is to move and operate by faith. It don't matter what it looks like. If God said it, it's a done deal. Hello. If God said it, it's already over with. All we got to do is walk out what God has already said for us to do by faith. The Bible says that is the things hoped for. The evidence may not be seen until you and I begin to walk this walk of faith. Now, then in verse number 6 of 11, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When I get to the end of this message about 10:30 tonight, you'll get this. Just kidding. There's two or three things that he says there in this verse. But without faith, you say, well, I don't have faith. Well, let me ask you a question. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Do you have a believer's faith or a doubter's faith? Sherry and I, we've talked about that at times, and she said, it takes just as much faith to doubt God as it does to believe God. It depends on what you're going to do with your faith. And by that, I'm just simply saying this, that you can choose to not believe God, and it is still an element of faith not to believe. But you can also choose to believe God. I heard John Hagee say something one time. He said, it should never be difficult for a Christian to believe God. Why is that? Because God has a perfect and a total and a complete track record, and God has never failed. Think about that. What God has said in the Word. So we have a believer's faith. We have a faith that believes God, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that He says and asks or thinks. And we believe that God is still God, and God is still, as God was, as much as God was with them, God is with you and I even today. When we think about faith, there's several things I want to walk through here this afternoon. Now, we looked at the scripture, and I'll get back into Hebrews 11 and 6 in a little while, but if I happen to not get back to it, look at this latter part of this. It says that he that believeth God must believe that he is, look at this, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Stay with me on that word. At the end of the service, we'll say yay and amen right there, okay? So in this, there are several verses of Scripture that I want to get to as it talks about our faith. Now, first of all, when we look at faith, we got to understand that my faith, watch this, my faith will work if I will work it. I was in sales years ago doing a very strange job at the time. And in my sales job, the guy, he taught us in a sales meeting one time, not at Pepsi. I always enjoyed my days at Pepsi, but for the most part. But anyway, this guy, he was doing a sales presentation, and he was teaching us how to schedule and how to plan and how to make the best of our day and etc. And this is what he said. He said, plan your work and work your plan. Plan your work. And then work your plan. And for whatever reason, that's always stuck out in my mind. And I begin to think about that as far as our faith, because our faith this evening will work if you and I will work it. There's 100 different scriptures that comes to my mind, and 100 different places that I could go into right now. And I'm trying really not to go there, but I've got to say it more than anything right now because it's in my heart. If you look at those guys in the upper room, when they came out of the upper room, look at the miracles that was happening in the upper room. Look at the things that happened when they come out of the upper room. Look, they did. Brother Scott's done a great and wonderful job teaching on that on Sunday morning. I've tried to stay off away from it for a few days. But here's the thing, they just simply done what Jesus told them to do, and then signs follow them that believed. Oh, we're big to talk. We like to talk the talk, but friend, we will never see signs and miracles and wonders and people coming to salvation until you and I become the model, until you and I become the individuals in the church today that are living out the Christian life by faith, and the world looks upon us and the world sees what God is doing through a Bible believing church that believes God for miracles and signs and wonders. Oh, the days of miracles are not over. The days of people being saved are not over. We must believe God. You and I become that conduit, if you will, for people to be able to see our faith. They measure our faith by what they see. If they don't see you and I doing what we say we're supposed to be doing for God, it's like we're putting our dead faith on display. Now, I've been there. I've been down in the mully grubs. Somebody said, I've been down in the dumps, and another person said, well, God don't have no dumps. Somebody says, well, the devil's been riding my back all week long. The preacher said, well, get the saddle off your back. Quit giving him a place to ride. So we see that we got to walk this thing out by faith. Everything we're doing here this night is simply by faith. Now, I have felt God. I have felt the Holy Spirit. I have His Word. But I've not seen Him face to face, and neither have you. People say, I've seen God audibly. Really? I'll leave that alone. But people say, I've heard God audibly. Well, bless your heart. I've not. Maybe you have. I don't know. But I mean, I have the impressions of the Holy Ghost on my heart that's verified by the Word. But everything I do by faith. I do it because it's written, and I know Him in my heart. I know Him in my life. And the Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And I know His voice when He talks to me. Thank God. So our job, and this is not in my notes, but it's just my job to do what God has called me to do. Again, my faith will work if you work it. Now, faith will lead us to being more than just a hearer. I've already mentioned that, to a doer. Romans chapter 12 in verse number 3 says this. Dalma, you taught me this verse, so I might as well give you credit where credit's due. If you go back into Romans 12 in verse number 3, this comes after verses 1 and 2 that teaches us that we're supposed to submit our bodies, therefore, unto God, and how that our bodies is the temple of the Lord, and how that God, we're supposed to give God that. But in verse number 3, he says, For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man, that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, which is clearly, and which is sound-mindedness, according to what God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Somebody said, well, what does Jesus say about the measure of faith? He says, Paul said, everybody's been given a measure of faith. Again, we've got a measure of faith to believe God, or we've got a measure of faith to doubt God. Jesus said with his disciples, if you have just a faith as a little grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be ye cast into the sea, and it'll go. So it don't take a lot of faith sometimes to move the mountains. He's just waiting on you to see if you really do believe what he's already told us to do. Moving forward really quick. So faith, again, when we think about faith, one of the first things I thought about was back into our text is really what James was saying. What James was saying in our text was simply this. When you look at it, it was where he was telling them this in the top part of that in chapter number 2. Where again, when you think about it, he says in verse number 17, he says, Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. It takes both working together. But I wanted to say this because it's here in the scripture, is that when Abraham was believed God, it was imputed unto him as righteousness that he was a friend of God. So with that being said, I wanted to talk about this whole thing about being justified for just a minute. And so we're going to go actually to the book of Ephesians for just a few minutes. We're going to work around that for a little bit, and then we're going to go on to something else. So we're going to go to Ephesians, and we're going to talk about that over in Ephesians chapter number 2, and we're going to actually see what Paul wrote there in the scripture, how that Paul wrote this. We're actually going to look at verse number 1 to begin with, because Paul reminded them exactly how they were and who they were before they were ever born again. Now, you and I don't take a whole lot of time thinking back to the person that we were before we were ever saved. Again, Paul was writing this, and he says this, and you hath he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and in your sins. He reminded them, it was you that I'm talking about. You were dead in your trespasses and in your sins. And then he said, you walked according to the course of this world, the prince and power of the hour, the heir, the children of disobedience, and you filled all the lusts. He says that in verse number 3, and he talked about by nature we were children of wrath. All these things Paul talks about. And then he says in verse number 4, we're picking up there moving forward. Paul says this, But God, who is rich in mercy, with great love wherewith he has loved us. The Bible reminds us, and Jesus even says this. He says, it's not that you loved him, but he first loved us. They sang that song a while ago, falling in love with Jesus. And that is one of those things that God did for you and I. He fell in love with you. He fell in love with me. But we see this moving forward in verse number 5. And he says, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. And then he says, by grace are you saved. We look at the word grace. We know that word. We know that word as charis, I believe it is, a Greek word. And it just means unmerited favor for the most part. And if I had time and I'm talking about grace, there's a lot more there. But he talks about the word saved, redeemed. And then he says, he made us to raise us up together, and he's made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul again addresses this in verse 7 moving forward. He says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding great riches of his grace in us, kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, verse number 8 is the ticket. Verse 8 says this. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So at some point in your life, you had to believe in God. And by Paul writing this, it is through faith. It's the doorway, the avenue of faith that this happened. Now watch this. Everything else in your life, everything else in my life, and again, that don't mean I've always hit a home run. It don't mean that I've not stumbled. But watch this. Everything else in your life, if you and I have the faith, the belief, God for our salvation, why in the world is it so difficult to believe God for everything else in our life that has already been promised in His Bible? And we've got to do this by faith. We got to do it by faith. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Faith is a gift. Salvation is a gift. It is a gift that God has given to whosoever will call upon his name shall be saved. Now, we've got to get a little bit further into this before I say what's next to be said. Are y'all okay? I know this is a lot on Sunday night. Verse 9, this is where it's going to get real. Because he totally refutes this whole idea right here. This whole idea right here that I am redeemed by my works. Not of works. Not of works. It's not because of the things that I do that God gives me an attaboy or a high five and say, look at him now. Ha, boy. Woo. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, God don't do that. And if you go back into verse 8, he says, by grace are you saved. God's divine, unmerited favor. Now, if I'm not making no sense tonight, y'all forgive me. Just pray harder for me. Because you're looking at me like, where are you going? We have been so focused on what we do that we forget the simple fact that you and I are saved simply by the blood of Jesus. Jesus plus Brother West, nothing else. He said in the Word, and you can look at it all throughout the book of Romans, and if the Bible says if we confess, if we believe, if we repent, that we shall be saved. That's what he said. But this right here, he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. What if God only redeemed? I got to pick on you, Jody, I'm sorry. What if God only redeemed males that's about 40-something year old that could only play the piano as good as Jody? And Jody went over here and went, ah. I got it going on, don't I? The rest of us would say, well, I can't play the piano, but I can do this or I do that. But see, our works would not measure up to his works. Thank you for being my example. Our works wouldn't measure up to his works. So I would be, in my mind, I would be less redeemed than Jody. But see, grace levels the playing field. Grace allows you and I, and our faith levels the playing field so that you and I, all of us, I like that word, Sandra, that says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But in this, we see where, again, and I'm setting you up for a good second quarter, I promise you. He says, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't boast in our works. We can't say, look what I do, that I'm better than Jody, or I'm better than Brenda because I'm the preacher, and I'm better than... You can't do that. Now, James uses this scenario, and I don't have time to go back to our text there, because James is simply saying, if you see somebody that's destitute or somebody that's less than you or something like that, he said, you can't say that you're better than them, and you can't say that you have all the faith in the world. He says, real faith, watch this, real faith will go to work. Real faith will do something. Real faith will not just sit around and wait on somebody else to do it. You know what I mean? Real faith is a motivator. Real faith, and as I've said it 100 times probably. I heard Jensen Franklin say this one time. He said, I don't work to be saved. I work because I am saved. I'm not going to get to heaven on my works. Hello? I'm not going to do that. The Bible don't tell me that. The Bible tells me that I get to heaven because I've been justified and in right relationship and right condition with Jesus. Again, in verse number 10, when you look at this, he tells me in the text here in Ephesians, this is what he says. He said, for we are his workmanship. We are what God has to work with. And then he said that we are created in Christ Jesus. Watch this. Unto good works. Now we shifted, didn't we? We shifted because he says that our faith is not measured by our goodness or our righteousness, but yet we say we have faith. We don't do nothing in our faith. We become like an old sounding gong, just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I mean, we just talking and we're not walking. We're just talking and we ain't doing nothing. Please don't misunderstand my heart, okay? My heart is this. You and I, we're in the church. We love God. We love the church. We love Thomasville Church of God. And whatever God has in store for us in the future, which I don't know everything that God has in store for us in the future, but we can be right here at the corner of Baptist Children's Home, Lake Road, West Holly Hill Road, wherever we're at, and we can boast and we can brag and we can say we're this and we're the church on the corner, blah, blah, blah. But you and I, if we're not doing anything with the resources, and if we're not doing anything with what God has done for us and through us, guess what? We are nothing more than just dead in our works. Are we okay? And then in this, we see again where he says that you are God's workmanship. And he says that he created you, get a hold of this, for good works. When we look at the life of Jesus, and I really, to be honest with you, I really got to flip the page for a minute and then turn back to Ephesians in just a few minutes. This is one of the things that I know that when I was looking at this, it's found in John chapter number 9. Jesus, I think it's John 9, help me to find it. Jesus, I love this because Jesus was a worker. How many of you know that? And Jesus rode an animal wherever he went, and so we see that Jesus stayed busy. We see Jesus as a child in the early childhood days, if you will, of Jesus' life when he was left behind. And don't you know where that Jesus said there? He said, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus always had a mind to do what the Father wanted him to do. This is what he says in John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. I hope I got it written down right. Jesus, again, he sees this man and he sees the condition of the man. He asks about who sinned when he was born blind, the parents or whatever. In verse number 3, he comes back and Jesus answers and he says, neither hath this man sinned or his parents. Now watch this. He said, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now watch this. This is where I feel like that you and I, if we're going to do what Jesus did, we got to do what Jesus done and what Jesus said, Jesus could have only just spoke the word and it would have been done. It is exactly what he done. But I believe there was an emphasis put here upon a little bit of our faith, because we can say we have faith all day long, can't we? But until we actually do something with our faith, that's what James was challenging them. James said, until your faith comes alive, that your faith without works is dead. We can talk it all day long, but until we do something with it. Now we see a manifestation of Jesus in John chapter 9, where he's dealing with this man that was blind. He asked whose fault was it? Was the parents or what happened there? But Jesus comes back and he says, no, this man neither sinned. He said, nor his parents. Sin is not the issue. Watch this. He said, but that the works of God. God is a worker. God is a worker. We know that from the creation. Different days. God is a worker. Jesus said, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business. We've got to be doing what God called us to do. We use our faith to fulfill that. We use our faith to accomplish that. And he says here, and he says in verse number 4, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. While it is day. And he said, for night cometh when no man can work. In other words, when Jesus was saying that, he used the comparison of nighttime. But in this, we know that what Jesus was saying here is that before long, they're going to take me and crucify me. Before long, I'm not going to be here. I've got to do what the Father sent me to do while I'm able, while I'm here, while the time is now. Now, you may disagree with me tonight, but I believe some of you will agree with me. I believe that there is an urgency in the air to do what God has called us to do. Not just talk about, but do while it is day. I tell Sherry sometimes, she said, I don't remember what you say or how you say it. Why don't you just rest or slow down, not do it today. Wait till later to do it, and I'll look at it sometimes. I said, because it's daylight and I've got to be doing something. I can't sit around and wait. You got to be doing it now. And I know I'm hyper, and I know I've been that way all my life. My daddy told me when I was a kid, he said, son, if you'd slow down to eat, you'd enjoy it a whole lot more. Slow down a little bit. I've always been, slapped wide open since I was a kid. I'm sorry, it's just the way I am. I'll go outside and I have to go outside and walk around. I can't sit long. I got to be busy. I feel like I'm accomplishing something. Now, there is times I like to sit down and rest. About 10 o'clock at night, I like to go to sleep just like you. I just like to rest. But there again, I like to stay busy. I like to be doing stuff. And it's not because I'm trying to merit God or His favor, but I know that time is nigh, and I know that I've got to stay busy. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to, if I'm talking to anybody, or if I'm just venting. I don't know. I have no idea. But a church today, in the hour that we're living in, I think we need to be a little bit more like Jesus, to do the works of Him that sent me while we can. He says that nighttime cometh when no man work. Look at verse number 5. And he says here in the scripture, he said, as long as I am in the world, I'm the light of the world. He spit on the ground, put spittle, anointed man's eyes, and he said, go and wash in Siloam. And he went away, and the man was able to see. So we see that Jesus, again, was always a worker. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, I love this scripture. Because, I mean, it's exactly what I felt like that I needed to say in the service tonight. It's because what Jesus said Acts 10:38, yeah. It said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Watch this. And he went about. When I read that today, looking back over it, he went about. You think, well, if Jesus had to get up and go, the Bible even said they had no time for leisure one place in the New Testament because they had to get the work of the Father done. You say, are you pushing me too hard, preacher? Are you pushing the church too hard? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think we need to be imperative to understand. We can have all the faith. We can have faith that moves mountains. We can do all this. But faith without works is dead. So the manifestation of our faith is in the doing. You're not saved by your faith. The Bible, hold right there a minute, Jan, don't move that one. Because the Bible teaches us over and over again that the just shall live by faith, that we should walk by faith and not by sight. But the Bible even teaches us that we are not justified by our works, but we are justified by faith. We're justified by Jesus. Okay, I'm going to say it again, that I don't work to be saved. I work because I am saved. But let me just clarify the latter part of this before we move on quickly. Because when Jesus in this, he said he went about, I like that word when I read that today. He went about doing good and then healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That it was faith, and faith activated. Now, again, I don't have time to talk about everything that I have studied, but we can see in several different places of Jesus' life where that Jesus went several places. And the Bible even talks about where Jesus went. Jesus was always on the go. He went to Capernaum. He went all the different places. He went to Galilee. He went to all the different places around Israel, everywhere. And he was always doing. He didn't just sit around. Jesus had all the faith in the world. He was faith. So I said all that to say this, that you and I today, we must have an active faith to do and to accomplish what the Father God left us here on this earth to do. Let me move really, really fast in the latter part of this. Well, I say latter part, but that's just, you know. So, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this. I've already mentioned the scripture. He says here in the Word, again, for we walk by faith and not by sight. I understand that. So let's get into the latter part of this. The latter part, basically, we teach about faith, but we also teach about our works. We cannot confuse our works with our faith. Let me go to Paul's writings in one of my favorite verses. And I'm using this verse so we won't get confused about it. If you look back into Romans 1 and 16, I know that you know that verse very, very well. I'm working Jan really hard upstairs tonight. And this is what Paul was writing. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He says, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, also to the Greek. Look in 17. He says in the latter part of verse number 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He did not say by works, but works is the manifestation of our faith. If we have faith, our works is soon to be following us. See how this works together? So let me move this quickly forward after I once find my place and see where I'm at. Jesus, again, he speaks on faith. When Jesus was there and all the different religions of the world says do, do, do. But let me turn there to this scripture. It's over in the book of John. Let me clarify this before I get too far into it. Sometimes I just write scriptures down and tie it all together. I hate to read so many scriptures, but again, this is Jesus talking in John chapter number 6. We see that in the scripture. And this is one of the things that he writes. In a couple of different places, Jesus says this in verse number 38. He said, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the Father, or the will of the Him that sent me. Again, in verse 39, he said, and this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. So we can see this of how, again, that Jesus was actually, again, telling us that it is that his desire is to do the will of the Father. If you back up to verse 28, got ahead of myself a little bit, but if you go back into verse number 28, I see this again in verse 28 and 29. This is what Jesus was saying about the last days, him being the bread of life, verse 28. And said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. In other words, as we believe on Jesus, it is the work of God. That is what he's saying. Now, again, a couple of more things moving forward. I know this is a lot. I know it is. There's a lot on me too, because I've had to digest this as I've moved forward with it. Colossians. We're going to turn to Colossians. That's right there. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. In Colossians 3, I have to remind myself. That's how I memorized it when I was back in the day. Colossians 3. We're going to look in verse 22. If I wrote it down right. I'm sorry? Colossians 3 and 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in the singleness of heart, fearing God. Look in verse number 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. What is that saying? Whatever I do, whatever work I do, do it as unto God and not just for the sake of pleasing and getting an attaboy. Do it because I love God. Do it because I have faith. Look in verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive. There it is again. Here's this awesome word that I mentioned earlier in the book of Hebrews 11. That he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you and I be faithful to God and do the work of God, the Bible says that God is going to reward you. He says that in the word, the reward, the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Let me read that again. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now, this is the last page, and don't get fooled because I've still got a lot to do. In this, it says that heaven's reward will be great when we get there. Because, now watch this, not just of our faith, but because of the work that we have done. Wow. We see this in various places because, hey, my friend, there's going to be a payday someday. There's going to be, not only is there going to be a judgment day, but there's going to be a day that we are rewarded. What are we rewarded for? You're going to be rewarded not only for your faith, but you're also going to be rewarded for your work. One of the things I forgot earlier to put in here is that when Jesus was there in John 4, you don't need to turn there. I thought about myself. I thought about the church. I thought about how today we're always looking for workers. We're always trying to get people to step up. We're always trying to get people to do things. And it seems like that as Martha, we sing that song sometimes that everybody wants to sit around the table, but nobody wants to sit in the field or work in the field. But if you go back and you read that in the scripture, we can see that where Jesus said, say not ye that there's 4 months till the harvest. He said, look on the fields now, they are white, even now the harvest. But the problem was there was not enough doers. There was not enough people to get the work done. We can have all the faith in the world. We can have all kinds of faith, but yet in the same context, we've got to do the work of him that sent us while it is day. We've got to be not only a believing church, a faith church to believe what God says, but we've got to do and we've got to get up and we've got to be about the Father's business as a movement and as a church today. So it all works hand in hand. Again, we're going to look at a couple of more verses and then we're going to be done. So again, when you look at this, what about the reward? Everybody in the room likes reward. I remember I was pondering this message yesterday and thinking about it and processing it and getting it ready and into my own mind and thinking about the process. And everybody likes a reward. Hello? I mean, you know, lose a dog, $500 reward. I'm going to go out here and say, I can't whistle right now. Come here, Fido. I can't whistle and talk at the same time. But we'll be whistling looking for the dog. There's a sign at the end of my driveway looking for a lost dog. It don't say reward. I'd be out looking for that dog. But we all like a reward. I remember when I was a kid, I had a little old motorcycle. I had a CL70, a little old Honda motorcycle. And I rode the wheels off that thing. And it did have a switch key with it. And believe it or not, it was a little bitty street bike. It was like a moped motorcycle back in the day, you know, little old 70cc motorcycle. And I rode the wheels off that thing. Somehow I lost my key. Couldn't ride that motorcycle. It was tearing me up. It was sitting there, probably had gas in it, and I was wanting to ride that motorcycle. I lost the key. Lost it. I was probably about 13 year old, maybe, somewhere along through there. Hey, anyway, long story short, I'll say it. I'll go ahead. My dad helped me buy that little motorcycle off of tobacco money. Some of you don't know what that is. Some of you do know what that is. But anyway, he didn't get chewing tobacco. He raised tobacco, and when he stole the tobacco, he helped me get that motorcycle. So I lost my key. And I was just going into a frantic because I lost the key. I didn't know what I was going to do. Well, Bob, I'd Somehow or another, I'd come up with a dollar bill. I had $1 bill in my pocket. So I offered a reward. So anybody that helped me find my key was going to get the reward. Well, I had two little sisters, and they went to looking. I don't know where it was found. I have no idea. I don't have a clue where it was found. All I know is it was found. They gave it to me. I gave them the dollar, and I took off riding. It was a great day. You know, our faith right now may seem small. Our faith right now, it may seem like it's just being beat up every day. I said every bit of that to say, keep your faith. Galatians says not to grow weary in well-doing. Keep the faith and just do what God says for us to do. Because somebody says there's a greater day coming one of these days. Paul says these words. He said it. He's finished the course. He says, laid up for me is a crown of righteousness. Hey, not to me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. Hey, there's going to be a reward. A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Somebody says, what is the reward of heaven? I read through some stuff this afternoon while I was just reading. Somebody says, ooh, hallelujah, I'm going to get me a new mansion up in heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah, brand new mansion. Glory to God on Golden Avenue, pearly gates of heaven. Hallelujah. Hey, let me tell you something, friend. That's not your reward. If that happens that way, the Bible says heaven is that way. Transparent gold, there's a mansion prepared. John 14, all of that. But as I was reading to myself, what is the reward of heaven for those that do the work of the Father? Well, I was looking for something magnificent and something that jump off the pages of I scrolling my phone and reading commentaries. That's what I do a lot, just read different commentaries. It's amazing. We used to have lots of books, but now we have a phone and we go looking at things that, you know. But anyway, I was there and one of the commentaries that said, you know, we look for these mansions and the golden streets and everything of what's going to be there in heaven and all those things is going to be good. But one of the writers said the gift of being a doer by faith is simply going to be in heaven. Eternal life. You say, well, Jesus is there and, oh, I can't wait to see my parents and my grandparents and all of those that went on before me. But the real reward of heaven is eternal life. You know, Jason Crabb has a song, Don't You Want to Go? I don't want to get to the end of the journey and be like those that took my talents and hid them in the earth. I don't want to do that. I want to be faithful to God all along the journey so that when we get to this end of the journey, we can hear him say, well done. Now, there's basically a couple of more scriptures, and I'm going to skip over a lot of that and move on down. There's one scripture that I really, really wanted to go to. There's others that I had written that I'm going to skip over, but this scripture I really, 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 really wanted to go to. And I probably did not get back to the book of James and really do that as justice as I'd like to have. But James was just simply saying, show me your faith by your works. You're not going to get to into heaven because you have works alone. You're not justified by works, but you work because you have been justified. And your works is the manifestation of your faith. That's what James is saying in a nutshell. Hey, Revelation chapter number 22. If you look in verse number 12, this is what he says. Jesus said there in the Word of God, I love this. And he said, and behold, he says, I come quickly. I don't know if you write in your Bible. I write in mine. I write notes and I do things that it jumps off the page at me. I circled that in my Bible. He says, I come. He said, behold, I come. Jesus said, I'm going to come quickly. And he says, and my circle reward is with me. My reward is with me. And again, I don't know everything that's in. I don't, matter of fact, I ain't been to heaven yet, so I can't tell you everything's going on in heaven. But I sure enough do want to go there, don't you? I don't want to be standing at the gate going, oh, I sure enough do hope I get in there tonight. He says, Jesus, it's coming quickly. It could happen today. It could happen right now. It could happen before we get home. Brother Russell was standing close by. Mama Russell was already gone in the restaurant today. Sherry and I, right after church, walked straight out of here and walked right down yonder, and almost that quick, just got the whole side of the door caved in on her vehicle. Fortunately, the man that was hard of hearing all of a sudden began to hear. A miracle happened. He stopped. I blowed my horn for 10 seconds, and the guy just come right on back. He did. If you're listening to me, sir, I'm not mad. You just need to turn up the hearing aids a little bit. I mean, just that quick, it can happen. There's no promise that we will ever, all of us, will be back in this room again like we are. I used to hear preachers say that. I didn't understand it until you get a little bit older and you see people go through things. I don't want to get to the end of this journey and wish I would have served God and wish I would have done the right thing and wish I would have done it different. I used to hear my daddy and my papa say, well, I tell you what, right now, buddy, he said, if I knew then what I know now, said a lot of things would be a whole lot different in my life. And I'd think in the back of my head, Sister Barbara, you big dummy, if it's that bad of a mistake, why did you do it to begin with? But the thing about it is, when I'd hear him say that, I'm thinking, well, if I do then what I know now, things would be a whole lot different. And I'd think in my mind, my kid mind, my small little bitty child mind, well, God help me to do this thing right the first time, that when I get to his age, I ain't throwing off on my daddy, hey, mama. I ain't throwing off on my daddy or my papa. I heard them both say it. I'm thinking, God help me to go through this journey doing what is right so that when I get older, I wouldn't. Now, mind you, there's a few things I'd like to change. Come on, somebody. I'd hear them say that. I don't want to get to this place in my life and say, God, I messed this thing up. I boogered it up. I had all my life to follow you by faith. And I trusted in things that wasn't going to get me to heaven. Works alone ain't going to get you into heaven. But as we have faith in God and we do what God calls us to do, then by our works, when we get there, we're going to be rewarded. Hey, you say, well, what am I going to be rewarded for? Depends on what God's called you to do. Where much is given, much is required. Sherry's papa, he got saved. Couldn't even write his own name, not throwing off on Hezekiah Gibson. Couldn't even write his own name. His name was X, pretty much. We was in revival service one night, or in church service, and he was at the back of the church, Mountain View Church of God. And I said, Sherry, I need to go talk to Hezzy. Go. We wasn't married, I don't even think, at the time. I went and talked to Hezzy. You'd have to just know him. I'll show you a picture of him one day. I've got some pictures on my phone. I'll show you one day. He was a mule plower. He loved farming. He loved mules. He loved animals. I went back and I talked to Hezzy. I led Hezzy to the Lord. He got saved that night. He trusted Jesus in his heart. He died years after that. Was he a perfect man? Nah. Was he an educated man? Nah. Did he know a whole lot about the Bible? Nah. And I told Sherry, I said, I believe Hezzy's in heaven right now. Can't wait to see Hezekiah Gibson in heaven one of these days and say, boy, what took you so long to get here? But I told her then, I said, one thing about it, there'll be more required of me than there will be a Hezekiah Gibson. Where much is given, much is required. So whatever God's called you to do, don't sit back and wait on the preacher to ask you to do something. Somebody says, I ain't doing nothing unless I'm asked. I don't read your mind. I don't know what you want to do. I don't know what's in your heart. I don't get up in the morning and rub the top of that crystal ball I got in that back bedroom and say, now tell me something for today. I don't have a crystal ball in the back bedroom. Get involved. Do something. Do what's in your heart. You say, well, what if I violate somebody? Or what if somebody's already in that position? Well, we can work around some of those things. You know what I mean? The main thing is to get involved and do what God's called you to do. Why? Look at this. I've been waiting on this all evening. I come quickly, and my reward is with me. When Jesus comes, he's going to reward all of us. Amen? Y'all are so excited, I can't hardly stand myself. every man, to give to every man. Every man, according to his work, shall be. This is the book of Revelation. So he says that God's going to give to every man rewards according to what he has called us to do. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and last. Look in verse 14. Blessed are they that his commandments. I skipped a word. Do. Little bitty word. Do. That they may have right. Permission. I looked that word up. Permission. To the tree of life. That they may enter through the gates into that city. That's going to be the reward of heaven. That I've done by faith what he told me to do. Brother Steve wants prayer tonight. We're going to pray for him. There's others that need prayer tonight. I don't work the miracles. I only do what God said. He said to anoint with oil. Okay, we take oil, wherever it's at. We anoint them with oil. And they said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. They took cloth from Paul's apron and cut away Paul's apron. And they sent it out. And that's why we send out prayer cloth. It's not in the oil, and it's not in the cloth, it's in the faith, and it's in the obedience of the word. It might seem silly. Jesus took that spittle, put it in that man's eye, and said, go wash in Siloam. That seemed silly, but he done what Jesus told him to do, and God healed his eyes. It's just in the matter of doing what he said to do. Come on, Brother Steve. Anybody else need prayer? Anybody besides Sherry got a bad back tonight? You need healing for your back, we're going to pray for your back. I want to pray for you. Come on. You say, oh, here we go. We're in that Pentecostal mode, ain't we? I wish we were. I wish we would believe God's word again. I remember a time in the church of God that you would call for a prayer line and it would take 3 or 4 preachers to help get through the lines and help people get better and help people. I'm telling you, we used to have church when we believed God. Now it don't take all that anymore, does it? We've gotten way too, what's that word, sophisticated, dignified. We don't believe in prayer lines no more. We don't believe in laying hands on the sick. What does it say? And they shall recover. That's the faith element. It's not my job to heal. It's my job to lay hands on and to do what God said to do. How many is going to come and believe for Brother Steve? I need at least one person behind everybody here. I know they're having camp meetings in Charlotte tonight, and I know you're waiting to get out of here to turn on your phone to hear Tim Hill preach. You can't hardly wait to get out of here to hear Tim Hill. I'm going to say something. It can happen at Thomasville tonight. This might be the night that you receive your healing. This man right here needs prayer. I talk to him about every day. About every day. Over what the enemy of hell has tried to attack him over. Every day. So whatever you need tonight, come. And the rest of you, if you have faith to believe, come. Or at least stretch your hand this way and act like you're engaged in the service just a little bit. Is this okay? Can y'all sing something? Maybe something? Whatever fits. You say, well, Pastor, did you plan on doing all this? Hey, I don't plan on doing half that I do when I get up here. I study, I pray, and I listen. And God says, and I do. It's all I know to do, Letha. It's all I know to do. Y'all that are here and you need a healing in your body, before I lay hands on anybody or do anything, I want you just to begin to worship. Because I believe there's healing in your worship. I believe when you begin to engage God, I believe that God will begin to do a work in your life. I may not even have to lay hands on anybody. It's simply your faith. When Jesus saw their faith, Hallelujah. When Jesus saw their faith, they were healed. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, we praise you. And we thank you, Father God, for all your blessings. God, I pray, God, tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, that God, that you touch my sister. I pray, God, that you touch her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. God, you know more than I do what needs to be done. And I know, God, this evening that faith without works is dead. And God, you said in your word that these signs shall follow them that believe. And we believe, God, tonight that, God, there's healing in the atonement in the blood of Jesus tonight, Father. God, touch Josh this evening, God. Heal him tonight, Father. Meet his needs tonight, God. Meet his needs. Touch him, God. Give him a deeper desire to serve you. A desire to love you, God. A desire, God, to read his Bible and to cling to you, Father. Mighty God, in the name of Jesus, allow it to happen. Oh, Shehey, in the name of Jesus tonight, Father. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that every need be supplied in this room. I pray, mighty God, for Sister Burlington, God, I pray for her back. I pray for Nellie, God, tonight that you touch her. I pray, God, for healing to the top of her head, to the soles of her feet, that no weapon formed against her will prosper, that, God, she be healed in the name of Jesus. Touch Freddie, God, tonight. Continue to bring a healing to him. Father, we love you. Touch, oh, God, this evening. God, I pray for Sister Becker, God, and Aaron tonight. Lord, you know the very desires of her heart. You know the very need of her heart tonight, God. And God, I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, that God, that you bring healing tonight, Father. Mighty God, you said in your word, God, that we believe tonight, Lord, that we shall be made whole. God, touch Shelby tonight, God. Touch Cindy tonight, God. Touch Sandra, God. Touch Sherry tonight, God. Allow the Holy Ghost to move, God. Move upon her, God, to bring a healing, God, in her body, Father. God, you know tonight, God. You know tonight, God, the need of her healing. Father God, touch Sister West tonight, God. Touch her, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet. God, we believe you by faith tonight. We believe you by faith tonight, God. We believe you by faith tonight, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, in the name of Jesus, God, in the name of Jesus. God, do a work in him, Lord. God, rid him, oh God, of this oppression. Give, oh God, deliverance tonight, God. God, in the name of Jesus tonight, God. God, in the name of Jesus. Put the lid on there for me. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We thank you, God. We praise you tonight, God. In the name of Jesus tonight. God, touch Brother Steve, God. God, take away all the fear in his mind. Take away all the doubt that it is in his mind. God, everything that's in him, God. God, that's unlike you. Lord, gird up the loins of his mind tonight, God. Father, I pray, God, you touch him. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God, do only what you can do in his life tonight with healing. My God, God, healing, God, tonight. Body, soul, and spirit. God, touch his mind tonight, God, bring healing. God, in the name above every name, the name of Jesus, God, touch Brother Steve. Heal his body, God, touch his arm. God, everything, anything in his body, God, that heals him, God, tonight, touch him and heal him. God, I pray for Brother Horace tonight, God, that you touch him, God, from the top of his head, God, to the soles of his feet, God, that, God, that you would meet the need in his life. God, let him know the burden is not his, but, God, in the name of Jesus, you can do it already. God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus tonight, Father. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Do you believe him tonight? Somebody shout, I believe. Hallelujah, I believe tonight. One more time, I believe. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I believe you tonight. Anybody else need prayer, want prayer? I don't want to miss nobody just because I'm up here. Come on, sister. Hallelujah. Some of you ladies, come and help me pray for this sister right here. What do you need God to do tonight? Oh, my goodness. Your stepdad. What's his first name? Mary. God, in the name of Jesus, we know, God, that you're more than able, God, to give this sister grace. God, you're able to give her the grace that she needs tonight, God, to take care of this stepdad. Father God, let the love of Jesus ooze out of her. Oh God, as she cares for him, as she goes and does the work she does for him, God, I pray that you give her grace and help in time of need. Father, I pray, God, if the people that she's around and the people that she touches and the people that she's associated with are not saved and born-again Christians, God, that you would open up the door for her to lead people to God. Father, I pray, God, that as the door before her is open, Lord, let it be a blessing to her. Let it be, God, more than work and more than just a do. But God, let it be a blessing. Let her see through your eyes, Father, I pray. God, that you touch her and help her. God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of the living God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we praise you tonight. We praise you tonight. We praise you tonight. We praise you. Anybody else? I don't want to miss nobody. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, raise your hand and praise the Lord. Praise him in the house tonight. Praise him in the house tonight. Praise him in the house tonight. Hallelujah. Yes, let's pray for Leslie. Leslie's her niece. And we're praying that she be healed of cancer. She's got stage 4, really bad cancer. But you know what? God still can. Father, we pray for Leslie tonight, God. We pray, God, is in that hospital. We pray, God, that whatever is going on everywhere in her body, we pray, God, that by faith, that God, that her body receive healing, no matter how far the doctors say, no matter what anybody says. God, you still are a restorer. And God, you can still do this tonight. And God, we pray for Leslie. We pray, God, that you touch her tonight, God. We pray, God, for Shannon and Daryl and her sister, God, that you touch them, God. Lord, just draw them, God, to you. Lord, I pray for her tonight, God, that she find her peace and her rest in Jesus. Hallelujah, God, in the name of Jesus. Great is that reward, Father. God, touch Sandra tonight, God, that she would have the words to speak, oh God, and the words to say. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Praise God, praise God, praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Benny. Yes. Hallelujah. She wants a prayer cloth for a cousin in Orlando. Had a stroke, right? Massive stroke. Maybe cancer of the liver. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, devil, you are a liar. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we pray, God, for this man in Orlando. Lord, you know right now what he needs. Father, whatever situation in his body is, more than anything, let him know Jesus. More than anything, let him know Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. Father, regardless of his physical person, I pray for his soul, God. I pray, God, that you, Lord, would speak to his spirit. Let him know you far more above everything else. And God, if it be your will for him to be healed, I pray, God, for his healing over his body. Pray for his liver to receive healing. I pray, God, that where he's had a stroke, that he'd be restored, Father. All this man needs, God, is you. And God, everything else will be okay. It'll all be okay. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I want to say something. He wants to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And we ain't even asked for that tonight. But I believe it can happen. Father, the Holy Ghost is a gift. And Father, you said in your word that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. And Father, in the upper room, God, when they left the upper room, they said, repent and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And God, it's just like what Brother Scott said, that speaking in tongues is a manifestation of that. But God, the Spirit does a work in the heart and He manifests up through Him. And God, let that manifestation take place in Gray's life right now. Fill him, God, with power to become your witness on planet Earth. Fill him with your anointing, God. Even at 79-year-old, God, God, do a work in his life right now and fill him with the power that comes from on high. In Jesus' name, right now, God, Lord, let it manifest in his life. Hallelujah to the living God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just praise him where you're at. Praise him where you're at. And it might not sound normal to you, but praise him where you're at. Glorify him where you're at tonight. Hallelujah, Lord, and just fill him up. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, touch Gray tonight, Father. He says he wants to be filled with power. He wants to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Father, touch him, God, right now, I pray. In the name of he that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ever ask or think. The name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost will come on wings of praise. And when you praise him, he'll come. Just praise him and glorify him. When you leave this place tonight, just go and be a witness for him. And in the sometimes in the most unlikely time, God will fill you up, fill you with power. I've heard it many, many times that the Holy Ghost will show up and there he is. Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus, Father, we believe you to feel great right now with the power of the Holy Ghost. We believe that. We believe that, God, as they were in the upper room. They left that upper room, God, and there was 3,000 saved, 5,000 saved. And the word of God went to Judea and Jerusalem and Samaria and all the uttermost parts of the earth because of the power that they were endued with from on high. So, Father, fill him tonight. God, in the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just say, Lord, I receive it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go in faith and be made whole. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. I need to make a confession tonight. I need to say something. I need to say something. I don't even know how to say it. But I want y'all to know something. I'm not up here to showboat. I'm not up here to say, look at the big guy. I'm not up here, hide me behind the cross. When we have services and we begin to move in the Spirit, I cringe on the inside for a couple of different reasons. One is, I know how people are. And people can be cruel and people can say things and people can make you believe things. And I don't want anybody to ever believe that I'm up here trying to operate in my own strength and my own power and I'm trying to be the big man. That's not who I am and that's not how I flow. But I tell you what, I want to move with God. And if it takes me standing on my head or rolling up and down this floor, it's okay with me that it happens. Whatever God has to do, whatever God wants to do, hey, I'll get out of the way, whatever he wants to do. But I don't want anybody to ever think, and maybe somebody thought that tonight, I don't know, but if you did, God's got your number. But if somebody's ever thought that about me, that's not who I am. I shouldn't do it. I think I sometimes quench the spirit a little bit because I don't want me to be in the flesh. I don't want me to get in the way. And I don't want people to think, well, look at that big guy now. I'm not like that. I don't operate like that. So if that message was for you this evening, receive it in Jesus' name because nobody said anything to me. But I felt like in my heart I needed to say that because I'm telling you something, friend. If it's not about Jesus, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to participate in it. I've sheltered my life for over 30-something years to be what He wants me to be. I don't have to showboat. I don't have to gloat. I don't have to brag. I don't have to boast. Let my boasting be in Him. Paul said that he was the chief of sinners. I know that feeling sometimes. You know what I mean? Because we can't glorify this flesh. There's nothing about this flesh that I want to glorify. Just hide me behind the veil. Hide me behind the cross. And let the world see Jesus through me. Amen. God bless you. I hope you've had a good evening. Faith and works has got to work together. Get your faith in line and everything else will follow you. God bless you. I love you. Have a good night. In Jesus' name.